sometimes I forget perfection is nonsense. It's just the way it is. Life gets rough around the edges. Peace is just a perspective shift away. And Rebecca, Emily, and Kate are here to help. This is Mom struggling well. Cause we're all in this together. Just Mom struggling well.
Welcome. You are listening to the Mom Struggling Well podcast. This is the podcast that helps you live your actual life so you don't need to run away from home. We believe perfection is nonsense and peace is a perspective shift away.
We are back with another interview today so you can add to your struggle well toolbox. You're going to hear one of us once a month have a conversation with someone that we know is going to add value to the struggle community.
So today I'm interviewing somebody who I'm a really big fan of. I'm so nervous to sit down and have this interview. Just kidding. But I'm still a really big fan of my brother, Rob Finkel. And the reason that I wanted to talk to Robbie, first of all, I felt really weird talking to him without Katie. Felt like I was cheating on Katie or something, or leaving her out. So Robbie, he has had a really long history of drinking. And so for so many years, we had a brother, Robbie, but we really didn't have him, because he was really deep in his addiction. And so Katie and I have talked for a really long time, and we've always been pretty close. I mean, with a big age difference, I think we got closer as adults. But now I feel like we have Robbie, like we really do have him. And so we text all the time, we talk every week. He's always been so lovely and so funny. He could make you feel like $1 million because you feel like really seen and heard by him. But now he's like so wise, like I feel like he became, I don't know, some kind of...
like a Buddha.
Yeah, I was going to say like some kind of monk on a mountain or something. I don't know. He just is so smart. And the things that come out of his mouth, we're both like, wow. And I'll look at her like, where's he coming from? So anyway, all that to say, he said something the other day about how he reviews his day. And I thought immediately of moms who are struggling at the end of the day and feeling like garbage because all they can think of is what happened and that it was all bad and they're bad and their kids are bad and their house is bad and their clothes are bad and their husband's bad. And maybe that's just me having a lot of problems, but I think when I review my day, I'm not necessarily pleased with how it went. And so he shared what he does, and I thought that is something that these moms need to hear. So that's my conversation.
Can I tell you that I'm very excited to get to listen to Robbie's voice? Because here's why. You talk about him all the time. I sort of feel like the stepsister here. Like I am a sister in this trio that came from just different mom, different dad.
That's it. Yeah.
And like Robbie is your blood brother. So he's kind of like my stepbrother. It was a late marriage. So like we were both grown out of the house. We didn't get a chance to like grow up together.
Mm. Yeah. We have Christmases at different houses, so you've never actually... You're like ships in the night.
Yeah, yes. I'm excited to listen to my stepbrother and like hear what his voice sounds like. Oh.
I wanted to say that I think if I was a listener to the show, I'd be like, man on the show, which we've had men on the show before. But I think that there's different types of dads, and I want to say that he's the dad that literally ran the PTA. He is the dad that does school physicals. So I just want to say he sounds like a man. He is a man. But as far as mom struggle and struggling well, he's on brand, you know?
I love it.
Absolutely. All right, let's get started. All right. You're my brother. Love you.
My older sister.
So much. I asked Katie if she wanted to be here because it feels really weird to not have all three of us together, I think.
Really?
Well, I don't know.
Is she our buffer?
No, she's not like Seinfeld. She's like the glue. No, I don't feel like that. I just feel like the three of us get together a lot, you know?
No, it's true. It's true.
On the internet. We move as a unit. So I've already explained a little bit about your story to the people that listen, and they are actually pretty excited to hear from you. Rebecca is very excited to hear from you. She feels like you guys are siblings since she decided excited. She's one of our sisters.
I love Rebecca.
Yeah. Okay. So Katie and you and I speak every week on the phone since mom passed away. It's been really, really good for our relationship. But the other day you said something about the way that you review your day and the way you used to review your day versus what you do now. And it made me think that it would really benefit a mom who may go to bed at night feeling like they've done a complete trash job at motherhood that day.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I just thought, oh my gosh, I need to hear all about this on the show.
Okay.
So maybe share a little bit about yourself.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. I am part of a 12-step program and have been for a little over a year and a half now. And what I've found in this is a new design for living. And something I've learned about myself was that I didn't necessarily have a design. I had instinct and I had patterns. And the way that I moved through the world was just based on how I felt at that moment. And how I felt at that moment was always depending on circumstances and also a head full of how am I doing? How do I look? What did I do yesterday? How does this person perceive me? What do I have compared to that person? All sorts of different rules or judgments that I would just put on myself would lead me to each action that I did. Mm-hmm. And in that sort of chaotic way of picking the next thing that I would do, the decisions that I would make would only put me into another spiral of why did I do that? Why did I go about it that way? And not understanding myself or making decisions that are sound and based on principles, characteristics that I like about myself and present to the world, right? I would almost only have the thoughts and opinions of other people as I perceived it. So almost nothing was true about what was really happening with a slant towards the negative in almost everything. I didn't find myself spiraling into positivity and patting myself on the back too much, you know, as much as I might have used that as a defense mechanism or try to present that I've got this all figured out, you know?
You definitely did present that way.
Yes.
But it's interesting to know what was going on behind the scenes wasn't so positive.
Right. Yeah. And it just wasn't genuine. It wasn't who I wasn't being me. I was being whatever version I felt like I needed to be to get through moments of the day.
Did you know you weren't being yourself?
No. What I did know is there were plenty of times in my life where I felt detached from those actions. I felt detached from my feelings and would question, how does everybody else seem to be them? And I don't know how to be them. I can't. But, you know, how do they do what they do so naturally? And everything just seems like a struggle and dragging chains to be me. And who am I? You know, so it took a lot of thought to come up with what I'm doing, more thought than necessary. If I guess that was what I'm trying to say. It was a big old stew of all of those different things trying to come up with what to do.
Okay, so then just to add some context, then you introduced two kids into this situation. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like you probably always felt that way to some extent. So then when you add kids, things are good. Easier or harder?
Yeah, to
way harder, probably.
Hard is a soft way of putting it. I was petrified for most of my adult life. When I became a father, I was also becoming a husband, and there was a lot of responsibility that came with that. And even that responsibility, I didn't necessarily look at from a healthy way of how does Rob pick on this type of a thing, but more as a negative thing to have been imposed on me, including those kids that depended on me. I resented them for needing me. I would get frustrated and feel anger in situations where it was time to be dad because I felt like I didn't know how to be dad and that there was a right way to be dad and that other people are watching me try and that's embarrassing. And so that resulted in a lot of, you know, defenses to keep people at arm's length, not let them see me try or not try and pull down the walls around me so that you would stop depending on me because that hurt so much to carry that responsibility, I felt. You know?
Interesting. Yeah. Okay.
And so that was what they understood of, you know, how dad moves around is in a bit of a panic, you know, sure. And there was good times because there's a lot of love. I love my kids very, very much. And, you know, that can get you through so much that true just, I will do anything for you. It doesn't look pretty necessarily the things I'm trying, but I'm just going to keep trying and I'm going to be here. And so we had a lot of love, but there was also a lot of confusion.
Sure. It sounds intense in whichever way you look at it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I understand that resentment, man. I view my kids less now, but still have to regularly circle back and remember that they're not obstacles to
right. The
things I'm trying to accomplish.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I decide I can't work out today because the kids are home. Well, yeah, you can. Like, so some of the obstacles I put in my way and call them my kids just because I don't feel like doing it. So sometimes they're the scapegoat for the things I don't feel like doing. But then sometimes I decide that they're just too much trouble. It's a hard.
And I still say that's fully appropriate. Anytime you don't want to work out, it is probably your kids' fault. And what you're doing is trading, making really nice meals and doing housework for that working out, or you would do it. Love a good workout.
Just getting ripped in the gym. Yep. Okay. So then what happened?
You know, that was basically just how I carried myself for decades. And part of trying to live in that way, which is, it's no way to live, right? To constantly be in doubt, a lot of fear, and then a lot of fear manifested as anger just because of these insecurities and not confident in what to do and only carrying what I have done. And that just keeps piling up more and more to where I'm just carrying this large burden of my past as I try to go and do the next thing. And so that became the pattern. And slowly things just, you know, relationships start to suffer. My friends group was shrinking quickly. The people that were close to me, you know, they became frustrated as well. When I only have negative things to say or when I'm not available to say anything at all, I lost my wife. And learned a new way of trying to co-parent and you know, where do you find your place now as a dad, which almost made more sense to me because that's what I knew growing up.
You mean divorced family.
Being divorced, yes. not being with a wife, not having group decisions and relying on each other and all that kind of stuff was foreign. Separation was natural.
Yeah, that's what we saw.
And I understood that role as a dad, you know. So I lived that way for decades. And then beginning of 2021, when mom passed, it is such a pivotal part in my life that I don't necessarily know what to put it on. Mom got sick really fast. And that put us in a position of how do we help mom? How do we care for her physically, emotionally? How do we help somebody that just had this reality of life hit them so hard? And it happened during COVID. It happened during the holidays. It was a lot. It was a whole lot. It was a lot more than I was ready for. And the same thing as, you know, I just would keep showing up for my kids. I was there for it. I was, mm-hmm. I was a mess, but it took so much actual like staying up and taking care of mom and how do I balance work while I'm doing all of this. So
and being the only one in Arizona with her, you really had a very heavy load. Like we did what we could, but from two different states, it was hard for you.
So yeah, time-wise, I definitely had, I was there for it, but you know, part of how we showed up for each other and how all of that changed is part of this pivotal part of my life. So physically drained, emotionally drained after a couple months of going through, the sickness is getting worse. It doesn't look like it's getting better. Mom's not ready to deal with the fact that she's sick and not going to get better. Then the day-to-day stuff that we had to do ourselves, where normally you would just call a professional and have them handle this. We didn't have that option. So That stripped me from everything I did have. I was pouring into trying to move through that situation as best as I could. And then mom passed. And what I was left with was you guys. I had my sisters.
What a bummer. I'm just kidding.
Well, like, in a way that we've never had to be there for each other. There was always mom. Mom would tell me how the sisters are doing. I was fine with that relationship to an extent, because as we grew up and I'm making these decisions and I'm losing myself, I didn't have time to ask how Emily's day is. I didn't have the capacity to care how your day was. And I didn't want you to know how bad mine was. Yeah. And so we just, as we had lost each other over the years, but then found each other in that dark spot, I was able to look more at us as a family. I was able to see myself. There was this big, it was like the camera turned around all of a sudden from just this looking out at everything that's happening to me, all these negative circumstances, all of this hardship and burdens that the world gave me as Rob. All of a sudden, it turned around to where I saw that time is finite. I knew that I was not going to be able to do this forever. And there's repercussions at the end of life. You're going to be able to look back on what you did and what am I doing, right? Okay.
So you had a big perspective shift, which makes sense.
Huge perspective shift. And in that, part of my daily habits was self-medicating. That had been a significant part of losing that circle of friends and the family, because it's a solution only for the person, and it's a detriment to everybody else, the dysfunction that self-medicating brings into a family.
Actually, so, I never thought about it, that solution is only for you.
Yeah.
Never thought about that before.
When that was my solution, there was no question that that was all I had. Everything else was a problem, long list of problems. And then this one solution that I could always go to.
Yeah.
It took me away from those days of just swirling in my head of all the baggage from before.
Which felt nice.
Yes. But then it also takes me away from my family. It takes me away from the opportunity to make a connection with a person and live life with people, to have a relationship with God, to feel like I'm part of this community of people at all. You know, it took so many things away, but it was still such a better solution. But looking at that with the lens turned around, all of a sudden it didn't seem to make as much sense anymore. It looked sad. I saw myself with some pity rather than just justifying it, rather than just convincing you that I'm fine and being okay to, you know, to exist on that.
Okay.
I was looking at, this is a really sad way to live, and that's not what I want to do today. So it put these questions into my mind.
You know, it's interesting that you say you didn't have to manipulate the way we saw you, because it always did feel, while you were good at manipulating the way we saw you, it always felt on some level like it was a manipulation, but couldn't really tell. Like, it just felt confusing, but largely fine, but not entirely solid somehow.
Right.
You know, like when they renovate the front of a home and they make a fake home in front, and then they like show it. So you're kind of like, yeah, that's a house, but like, that's not exactly. I don't know. It just felt a little not sure. Unsteady.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And that's because I was balancing those plates. And so, you know, for as good as I could try to be about it, you just, that also seems to be that now you have to buy in on that, because you don't know what you're going to do. You don't know how to see through it. You don't know how to get to me to say, it feels like your bricks are painted. I don't think those are bricks. And I have to play the role of, no, everything's fine. And there's no really other place for you as my family. There's no other way for you to handle it but to say, okay, then I guess.
Exactly.
Okay.
And now we're kind of backed into a corner, but we love you so much. But yeah, we can't get to you. Yeah.
So I saw that right now that I had this new relationship with you guys where we were being honest. We had to be honest to get through what we got through. And all of a sudden I could see that benefit of honesty. I could see how gross it would be to then turn around and go back to pretending for you. And so in the next couple of weeks, with that new perspective, I didn't do a lot. I didn't work, didn't do a lot of things for the preparation for, you know, after mom passed and all the things that have to happen. I've just felt like this pause in my life. And then all of a sudden my solution stopped working for me, to where I couldn't go to that anymore, where it used to calm down voices and screaming in my head, because it's just this crescendo through the day of lies and the house of cards. And then at night, I would use that to numb it out. And all of a sudden, the numbing didn't happen.
Why? And really? Why do you think that is?
God. Huh. I was given a break from that cycle by taking away the effect of the solution. And for days, I was petrified. I was very scared. I didn't know what the next thing is to do, because
you need a solution.
it's a pattern from a long time. Yeah. So there's A and then there's B, and then B was just gone. And so with a lot of support from family and the urging of people that have watched me struggle for a long time, I went into a program, and that's where I have found this new design for living. And one of the things, like you're asking about with the inventory, but a very important part of what I've learned and what I practice now, because as I go through the day, I'm going to still run into adversity. There's still going to be problems. There's going to be mean people and good people. You know what I mean? I'm going to stub my toe. I'm going to overdraft my bank account. Like, there's just things are going to happen as I move through the world. But one of the tools that I was given is to just at night, I review my day.
After I had my baby, specifically my first one, I noticed my hair started shedding, and it was concerning. I don't know about you, but nobody in my family loves cleaning hair out of the drain. So after pregnancy, your body is still shifting, recalibrating, doing things that don't feel normal. One of those alarming side effects of all those hormones can be excessive shedding. But did you know that pros can stop the shedding cycle and grow back your hair? The three of us genuinely love Pros products because they are personally tailored to address your specific concerns. So they're taking into account things like hormonal changes, stress levels, diet, and more. And they have custom hair supplements guaranteed to help you grow thicker, longer, softer hair in record time. Ingredients are clean and safe, and Pros hair supplements are just two capsules that you take daily. One of them strengthens and rebalances, focusing on your scalp, and the second one helps spark fuller, faster hair growth deep in the follicle. Pros supplements are free from drugs, synthetic fillers, and DHT hormones, and all formulas are gluten-free, dairy-free, nut-free, vegan, and cruelty-free. And multiple studies show that over 90% of women taking Pros hair supplements saw less shedding, more growth, and improved overall appearance in 90 days. Try your own custom hair supplements and you'll get 15% off. Get yours at pros.com/MSW. That's PROSE.com/MSW for your free in-depth hair consultation and 15% off custom hair supplements. What goes great with a summer vibe? How about a checking account with no monthly fees? Like a cool breeze, Chime is a refreshing way to handle your money. With no monthly fees, no maintenance fees, or minimum balance fees, it's how banking should be. And when you need to access your money, you can do so fee-free at more than 60,000 in-network ATMs at many locations like most Walgreens, 7-Eleven, and CVS. You can also send money to anyone, even if they aren't on Chime. Fee-free for you and no cash-out fees for them. Chime, no monthly fees, no vibe-killing fees. Sign up for a Chime checking account, only takes 2 minutes and doesn't affect your credit score. Get started at chime.com/MSW. That's chime.com/MSW. Chime is a financial technology company, not a bank. Banking services provided by and debit card issued by The Bancorp Bank or Stride Bank, N.A. Members FDIC. Out-of-network ATM withdrawal fees apply. Except at MoneyPass ATM and a 7-Eleven location at any Allpoint or Visa Plus Alliance ATM. Other fees such as third-party and cash deposit fees may apply.
It's actually important to me, the words that it uses, as it kind of instructs me on how to do that. If you don't mind, if I want to just kind of say the words. What it suggests that we do is when we retire at night, we constructively review our day. Were we resentful, selfish, dishonest, or afraid? Do we owe an apology? Have we kept something to ourselves which should be discussed with another person at once? Were we kind and loving toward all? What could we have done better? Were we thinking of ourselves most of the time? Or were we thinking of what we could do for others, of what we could pack into the stream of life? So those are the questions that I will go through them at night.
Do you write out your answers, or what do you do?
I've tried it a couple of different ways. When I first started with the suggestion of people that have worked this program for longer, they told me where to find it in the book and just, this is the inventory, here are the questions. So at first I tried to just read them out loud and answer them in my head. This doesn't work for me. It almost never works for me to be left to just my mind to answer questions honestly, okay, because I have tendencies, I have pathways dug deep that will take me around reality and to exactly what I need it to be. I can lie to myself just as well as I can lie to other people, and I do it. So it's not great for me to just try to answer, do I owe an apology? No.
Nope, I'm fine. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I didn't crash a school bus today, so there is no need for me to go out and try to make an amends to anybody, right?
Yeah.
So then I started to try to write them down. That took too much time. Now I'm writing the same questions every night. I'm discouraged. I'm a lazy person, and it's night. So that was too much. And then I found a template that already had the questions and then some spaces to write. So I printed off a couple hundred of these sheets. I got through 15 of them and gave up on that process.
Okay.
And so where I really found what worked for me is I found an app that simply has, again, the same questions, the way that they ask it, but I just have a little tick. I can say yes or no. So if I was resentful, I will hit yes, and then it gives me a spot to write about that. Where was I resentful?
Okay.
If the answer is no, I can just move on. I wasn't dishonest, which is, if I'm being honest, I'm always going to have been dishonest at some point in my day. And it doesn't necessarily mean that I have lied to somebody's face and said, you know, everything's going fine in the company, but it's falling apart. It doesn't have to be that kind of a lie. You know what I mean? It can be smaller things where I don't have the report done at work. And so I say, I'm having a little bit of technical issues. I'll have that to you soon. I don't feel good when I can't be honest about things and fail in front of people. So that would be an important thing for me to remember to actually to write it down and just say, I wasn't very honest about why I didn't have that report on time.
Okay. Now, okay, let me ask, when you decided that you weren't very honest with somebody, is that then the next thing you say is there an amends? And yes, there would be. Like, do you have to like fix all these things?
There's a spot for that.
Okay.
The do we owe an amends? And I haven't found that I go directly to an amends from my nightly review. Okay. Because there's other ways that I could get deeper into that dishonesty to find that amends. There is a spot that asks, do we owe anybody an amends? And it won't be that night, right? Like, so that night I wouldn't be calling people at 10 o'clock and saying, man, I'm so sorry, I was dishonest about this.
Okay.
And sometimes if I was dishonest about something, that person may not be negatively affected by it like I would be. So it's almost, this inventory is for me to check myself and my honesty. If there was an amends that needed to be made, there is a time for it. But as I go through the day trying to be honest, I'm probably going to make that amends a little bit faster, and that will already have been taken care of, or it's a larger issue than just this nightly review.
Okay, cool.
Which is good, because that would also discourage me from ever doing it. That would be exhausting. It goes on from there, but we must be careful not to drift into worry, remorse, or morbid reflection, for that would diminish our usefulness to others. After making a review, we ask God's forgiveness and inquire what corrective measures should be taken. And that's very important for me to hear those words, because right now I have not been practicing this very well, and it can keep me from wanting to go lay my head down because I've got so many things I feel like I want to think through.
Okay.
And that is morbid reflection. There's only so much I can possibly get thought of in a night that's actually useful.
And interesting.
This just having this process sometimes puts me to bed, and it doesn't have to be while I'm laying in bed. If my mind's going with all these thoughts of the day, I probably am going to find in there that I was selfish, because I don't feel comfortable with selfishness. If I am constantly going back to that thought, maybe I need to get it out. Maybe I need to process through it by saying, yes, that was selfish, letting God know, I've done it again. God, can you please help me take away this selfishness, and then think about how I'm going to move through tomorrow with more selflessness. And then that thought's gone. And so I can wait till I'm in bed and do this, or if it's 9 p.m. and I know I'm heading towards an all-nighter of rattling around in my head, to go through this list, it gives me the words, the resentments, the dishonesty, afraid. If I answer answer, was I afraid today? That can take a lot of work for me because I am fearful through a lot of life. I still have a lot of fears and it's not healthy. It's never fixed anything for me. So if I look at the times that I was fearful through the day and then I ask God to remove those things from me and I think about how the next day I cannot have to worry about my retirement when I'm 70, when I'm 41 years old today, when I can give that to God and allow myself tomorrow to work on it, then that's just removed and I can go to bed without those bouncing around thoughts. And tomorrow, one of my last thoughts of the day is, how can I go into that day better? What are some better practices I might be able to implement in that day? You know, rather than I'm not good enough, I'm going to retire poor. And I lied to Susie. And so now I've got to avoid Susie. That's no way for me to start a day because that is the pack that I dragged for so long through my life to keep that light, to be able to travel and be useful to God and God's children and myself, to be effective as the person I want to be. I got to be light. And this helps me stay light.
Yeah. Does then how you want to go into the next day, does that do like start a to-do list that you're going to tomorrow morning, you're going to look into retirement? Like, how does that?
So if there's something that I need to do, I'll just, you know, I've got my app. I can write that down. If I'm doing it on paper, I can write that down. I can put that to tomorrow by putting it on paper. It gets it out of my head. And then the next day, if I look at that list, one, oftentimes I go, are you kidding me? Like, this is easy. We don't need to worry about this. It was such an unnecessary, unhealthy fear from the night before that when I see it the next day, I can say, well, just continue to contribute to the 401k and I'm sure it'll be fine. We have no idea what it's going to look like. And so I don't always have an action from it. We also have a design for how to start the day. You know, look at the 24 hours ahead and, you know, there's a soft plan with God and selflessness and write it in pencil and then go forth and do it.
Cool.
Yes. I mean, it is step by step design for living that is against the patterns in my head that would make it a lot harder, just a trudge through made up problems in my life. Now I can identify them, face them head on, and I just get more and more efficient at that as I'm not going into these things that I want to improve about myself with all of the baggage from before.
Yeah. Okay. So you mentioned to me, and this got me really excited, when the daily review took a turn for you that was very healthy. And maybe everybody is, but maybe us specifically based on our childhood, I'm not sure, but I'm real, real, real hard on myself. And it sounds like you are too. So the daily review could look like a dumpster fire of hot garbage.
Yeah. And I think it's really interesting. This is one of the things that I enjoy about just the ability to be vulnerable and honest in my new life that is not full of needing you to think a certain way about me and not fabricating reality. To look back at, you know, when I talk about the review, I do talk about the negative parts. And I still do have this tendency. My mind is drawn to watching out for where Rob did something wrong. And that's not what my day is. My day isn't a scorecard of how many demerits did I end up with at the end of the day. It simply isn't that way. And I know that that's my natural tendency. And I know that that's why this was written the way that it is so that I can remember the positive things as well. And I was discouraged beyond just the feeling like homework sometimes of doing an inventory at night, wanting to say, I'd rather not because I'm in bed 5 minutes faster or whatever. Beyond that is I got tired of beating myself up with the inventory. And I got really good advice that, like you said, it changed the whole process for me. Simply reading again what they're asking in the questions where it does talk about the resentfulness and selfishness and whatnot. The words escaped me. They blew right past me as I was reading. Were we kind and loving toward all? To answer that question on a nightly basis has shown me something about myself that I wouldn't have considered. I would have accepted it only as how a person should be, how Rob is not doing the wrong thing. So it's like a wash.
Sure.
But the fact is, going through life, we meet people, my kids, I didn't realize how much I do put into loving them. Yeah. And how the kindness at the grocery store always seems to be the example, right? Is that the only place we meet people? it's always the, you know, be kind at the grocery store. How do you treat the clerk? Put your cart back. It's like, it's the metaphor for all existence. But it's true. Like, I typically have fun as I interact with people. And to say, yes, I was kind is a feather I wouldn't have even put near my cap before. And that's another big thing for how to end my day is to feel a little bit of, all right, I'm kind of a good guy.
Yeah.
And I like loving people and people like loving me. And that gives me just strength to be that person where it might be politeness. It might be how I know to try to make interactions as gentle and soft as possible. But also, I'm a nice, loving person, and that's not a given. That's a gift that God gave me that I use, and it's a huge plus one in a list of watching out for things that maybe we harmed people, or maybe we weren't as true to ourselves as possible. But was I kind and loving? And then another question that it has is, were we thinking of ourselves most of the time, or were we thinking of what we could do for others, of what we could pack into the stream of life? And now those words in my reflections have become part of, now I understand that to be part of what this life is, what existence is. What we're doing here is the stream of life. What am I packing into it? And that part of what I do in the 12-step program is focus on service. I find opportunities to give of my time and try to give whatever I've got in whatever form, have the willingness to just say, how can I help? How can I be here for you? To strangers, to people I know, the service part of my life is I now see that as I'm packing into the stream of life, there's a better world because of the things that I'm doing. It's not required. It's not just the opposite of negative. It's an actual positive, good thing. And I have the ability to do it or not. And when I do it, I should acknowledge it. And I find it draws me closer to having a different relationship with God, because now I get to celebrate wins as one of his children, moving around with his other children and celebrating a win like that. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure what else we're supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
That's a beautiful thing to be a part of. Yeah. And my mind will just skip right over that and be like, you lied to Susie.
Yeah. Isn't that interesting that we see what we are conditioned to see? You didn't even notice those positive words, because all you were seeing was, how can I beat myself with this yet another tool? How can I tear myself down? Yeah.
That's absolutely how it went down for me. And thank goodness that somebody else was packing into the stream of life to give me that help so that I can see it now.
Yeah. I love that. The idea of the stream, that's where like life is. If you think of like a picture of stream, there's like deer drinking and trees and fish in there. Like there's a lot. I like that, that picture.
Yeah. Yeah. I like to put myself there too. And I'm in sandals.
Yeah.
Got a good tan going.
Good. I love it. Oh, Robbie, thank you so much for being willing to talk on a mom podcast.
Oh, it's all about the moms. Where would we be without the moms?
We wouldn't be. It's that simple. Did you say everything you want to say?
Yeah.
Okay. I love you. Thank you.
I love you so much.
I love you back. Thank you again.
I'm proud of you.
Oh, I'm very proud of you.
Okay.
So there. All right. Okay, bye.
Bye, Katie.
Hey, ladies, I hope that you got as much out of that as I have. I'm telling you what, my brother is just really spending some intentional time, like he said, focusing on having a design for his life, and it has turned him into a completely different person. And he is such an inspiration to me. I learned so much from him, so I hope that you did too. So what will your strategy be to struggle well based on what Robbie said? Maybe this week, you just take a little time at night before you go to sleep and you reflect on some things. You could actually just Google daily inventory, and there's apps, there's Excel spreadsheets, there's
stuff on Pinterest. There's a ton of ways to do this. Like Robbie said, he just tried a couple things out until he found what worked for him, what didn't feel heavy, what didn't feel like too much. The three questions that he mentioned that I wrote down because they really resonated with me was, how do you self-medicate? He was just talking about, in general terms, that he was self-medicating. We all do it. So what does that look like for you? And what I thought was so interesting was that when we self-medicate in negative ways, it's only a solution for us. It doesn't help us draw closer to anyone. In fact, it isolates us. So if you don't know right now, if one doesn't pop to your mind as like, oh yeah, that's my issue. I spend way too much online, or I use a substance. I use food. I sleep when I should be interacting. I'm not even tired. I'm just trying to avoid. I tend to do that. But if one doesn't pop out to you immediately, some questions to see if what you're doing is self-medicating is it only a solution for you? And does it take away your opportunities for connection? And if the answer to those is yes, then that would probably be something that is more maladaptive than healthy. Yeah. Maybe your strategy to struggle well this week would be to just ask yourself at the end of the day, how were you kind and loving? Maybe you tend to be really negative and hard on yourself, maybe in a really difficult parenting season or a difficult season in your marriage. Or you want to be married and you're not. I mean, life is hard. Doesn't matter what season you're in. Sometimes you'd like to be in a different one. But instead of beating up on yourself, maybe you ask, how are you kind and loving today? And what did you pack into the stream of life? I love that. We are contributing so much more than we think. And if we're only looking at the negative, we are going to be a lot heavier and weighed down than we need to be. So I'm going to pray for us because I never get to end these by myself anymore. And I remember that I used to do that. So here we go. Lord, thank you for what you've done in my brother's life. Thank you for the benefits that he is experiencing with what you've done in his life. But man, I know that I am also really blessed by what you've done in his life. Lord, would you please help us to struggle well through motherhood and all just the things that life throws at us by pausing to have a look at our day with you at the end of the day. And God, would you show us areas we need to make some different choices, because you definitely know that we have them. We know too. But would you also help us see the ways that you are at work and the good things that you have put in front of us. Life is not all difficult and struggle all the time. It just isn't. So Lord, would you help us to reflect on all the really cool, fun, meaningful things that are happening, and help us give ourselves some credit for the neat part that we play in the cool stuff that's going on. Lord, thank you that you're always with us, even when we can't feel it. Thank you that you're always, always working. In Jesus' name, amen. 'Cause we're all in this together.
Just mom struggling well. I used to change it where it won't do the audio until I say it can do the audio.
Hey, it's fine.
You know what I mean?
You got to take a stand where it's important to take a stand. I'm not asking you to change.
I may not control a lot, but this Zoom is going to do things my way.
The video should never see the light of day, unless it does. I mean, I hope not.
Oh, really?
I'm in my pajamas. I mean, we'll see what happens.
I am not.
I know you look really nice. I got this out of mom's closet. So.
Oh, fun.
I have a big old pimple. It's good.
I can report that I haven't worn any mom's clothes.
And that is partially because you've gotten so healthy.
Yes. Yes. That's exactly why it is. The urge is there. I just choose not to. I put the drawer away and I say, nope, not today.
One day Mom. At a time. I shan't wear your dresses.